Welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast, where I'm talking to John Vong, who's the founder of Local SEO Search, which is based in Canada. Now, if you want to learn about Google My Business, you've come to the right place. Thanks for downloading. Google My Business can be a little bit confusing, but it's a must-have for virtually every company or organization. It's the little bits that you see on the map when you do a Google search, the opening hours and the photos in the right-hand side of the search page. It's all that stuff. Now, John shares a huge amount of knowledge, talking about the importance of reviews and how often we should post updates, all sorts of things. You can find John on LinkedIn and also check out the website, which is localseosearch.ca. All the links are in the show notes. Can I quickly mention that Not Another Marketing Podcast is totally ad-free, and I'd love it if you could just give the pod a quick shout on social media. Subscribe as well using your favourite podcast app. Just check out all the links. You know where they are. They're in the show notes. The first thing I asked John was, what is Google My Business?
Google My Business is the map section, the local section of where you search on Google. And typically there's three listings that appear. And what you want to do is appear on that first page on the map, because as you know, most of your customers and users don't go past the first page, let alone go past the three listings on the first of the maps, right? So that's where Google My Business is giving you the ability to claim, verify, and then update and input any of your title, company information, hours, name, address, phone number, postal code, as well as some photos and services.
So when I do a Google search, if I search for like pizza, or I just searched for like coffee shop or something like that, Google knows where I am because it's all very creepy. And then it produces that little box of all the coffee shops and pizza places near me, right? And that's the Google My Business working.
Exactly. So when you go a broad term like pizza or restaurants or Indian restaurants, Google knows the IP address. And so they can search based on your area, the distance between where you are versus some of these pizza shops. But what is very important is you can actually slowly appear as a business in certain parts of the search, even though you're not really close to it, right? And it all depends on the query, because most people are searching pizza, best pizza shops in London, or pizza shops near me, right? Yeah. So it all depends on the query that people are searching. But the more queries that you dominate and you're known for, or you're an expert for, then you're going to appear more frequently for those.
So can any business use Google My Business, or do you have to kind of have a physical presence, a proper shop or a building?
If you are servicing a local community, definitely you can claim and verify your Google My Business page and listing. The only thing is, if you're a e-commerce site, you cannot claim your Google My Business.
Right.
But if you are a service-based type of client, where you are either a shared office or you're a plumber and you're working from your home, you can definitely claim it. And the only criteria is making sure that you don't have listing your home as the business hours, right? Like, because what people will start doing is coming to your home or coming to the virtual office. Unless you're actually physically at the virtual office, like there's co-working spaces, if you're actually open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and physically there and someone's manning the shop there, then definitely you can claim it using that address. Otherwise, use your home, hide the address, and then make sure that you put service areas that you actually service.
That's interesting to know. So, because obviously a lot of people working from home, a lot of freelancers work from home, so you don't have to have your address shown to the world as such.
Exactly. It's a great way for a lot of these business owners that don't have that rent. You know, it's a huge expense for a lot of business owners, especially startup companies, right, that aren't established, to have and endure street level storefronts and rents and be committed for a lease, right? So it gives you an opportunity to actually appear and generate some more visibility.
You mentioned verified a couple of times. What does that actually mean?
So if you actually type in Google My Business on Google, there's a criteria where you can claim your listing or go in and verify one that's already available on Google. So verifying it means you own it and you're an administrator, where then you can make actual edits on that entire listing. It's an asset piece that you can own, very similar to your website, very similar to social media assets like Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, where you can go in and edit any of the required fields that allow you to be displayed on Google.
So how does Google kind of like stop us from verifying any old business? Because, I mean, you could go on and you could like claim anybody's business as your own, couldn't it? Is there a way that they check to make sure that everything's correct?
Yes, definitely. So there's a vetting process. And usually what they do is send a postcard to the physical mailing address that you are claiming for. So if it is a bricks and mortar business, they're going to mail it within 2 weeks, and you have a month to actually verify using the PIN. Another criteria is they might have you phone verification. So someone, you know, vets you via the phone with a PIN code, and you just have to input it onto the computer to verify it. So they have their checks and balances in place.
Yeah, sure. I suppose if you've got access to the post box of a shop, it's your shop, I would imagine, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Exactly.
Yeah. So what benefits does this actually give me as a business as such? What do I get out of Google My Business? Because I'm sure Google isn't giving it to us all for out of the goodness of their heart.
Yeah, so for the whole purpose of a user, it's giving the user more choice, right? And people love the fact that they can make decisions at their fingertip, especially during the decision-making process on smartphones, because there's way more searches that's happening on a device today, smartphone device, than desktop and laptops. And people are typically on the go. And if you understand that, people want to navigate and look for things close to where they typically are or where they reside at home or at work, right? So the whole premise for Google is to provide a better choice, different websites, different options, where the consumer can vet with additional information, let it be reviews or photos or content and service offerings, additional information like a store visual tour, right? It's all about providing more value to the customer and ultimately the user, right? Who's consuming and looking for businesses. And the whole premise for Google is to owning that asset piece versus from them going to your website, they want Google to pretty much own that asset. Similar to like Facebook, they want people to not leave Facebook, but stay on Facebook. So that's the whole premise, for Google to own that landing page so that people don't even have to go to your website. They can decide right on Google themselves. So the longer they stay, the more sticky they are, and maybe that's where they can start positioning some ads at you.
So what information do we need to actually set things up with Google My Business?
So the most important thing is verifying it. So making sure that I get that PIN postcard in the mail or phone verification, go in there, and then just put in the information that is required, like your company name, your address, your telephone number, your website, and then start uploading some images and start building some profile, like reputation out there, right? Because these are indicators of what users expect today. And if you don't have a verified listing, or you don't have reputation or reviews or images or services, people are going to who has a robust listing, right? Someone that provides more information and insight. And usually, myself included, I sort by not just the top reviews, either most recent or the ones that are providing the least star rating. And I want to read how people are perceiving that business owner and what is the feedback and comments below that as a response from the business owner. So just understanding what the user's behaviors are so that you can fully optimize your listing for the user's intent.
So I suppose we can put opening hours and things like that, holidays and when we're going to be closed and all this sort of information, which again will be useful for the person at the other end.
Exactly. And it's more critical today more than ever because of this pandemic, right?
Yeah.
They added some additional features like COVID hours or pickup, you know, stuff that actually is relevant for business owners, right? Because they want to make it useful so that customers continue going back to Google first off, and then for them to consume that website or consume that landing page. So the more information you provide to that listing, the more you provide to the customers, the more engagement you'll have, and everyone wins.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because yesterday, the government ordered all the pubs in the UK to shut by 10 o'clock at night. So I would imagine there's lots and lots of people updating their Google My Business right now.
Exactly, because end of the day, you want your customers to feel like you are on top of all your assets. Because what's the worst thing that happens? You're not open and they actually appear on your storefront, right? And they're going to write a bad review because they're going to say, I went to Google, you're not there. Why?
Yeah.
When I found you on Google and it said you were supposed to be open.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose, does voice search work into this? Because, I mean, the search which I do every now and then is I kind of like shout at Alexa in the corner and say, what time is the post office open till today? And she'll tell me, is she getting her information from this type of content?
Yeah, so voice search, yes, they pull it directly from Google, right?
Right.
And usually it's optimized listings. That's the best match for that individual. So it's all personalized, right? So I would say they have a lot more information than you think.
Yes.
And they know a lot more than you imagine. And
yeah,
for you to just make sure and play by their rules. And what Google really wants is for you to take care of your customers. Understand that they're trying to use AI machine learning to better understand how the behaviors are of your customers. So if you focus more heavily on what your customers are looking for and actually implement it, you're going to be way better off than trying to figure out what Google's looking for.
Sure.
To rank a website.
I've noticed on a lot of listings, there's like a little graph monitoring footfall and how busy a store is going to be.
Yes.
Again, that's all a part of this Google My Business thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So definitely if you're like going to a tourist attraction or a restaurant, you'll actually see how busy and spikes and periods. The reason they're putting that is because they know the volume of people searching for that business owner.
Yeah.
And they're providing some additional insight so that you don't get stuck during busy periods if you don't want to get stuck, right?
Yeah.
Because they can kind of predict some analytics, right? The more information they have and collect, they want to provide it for the users so that they are equipped with knowledge and insight.
You mentioned the reviews a few minutes ago. How does the review system actually work in Google My Business? Can we kind of ask people to do reviews for us?
Yeah, so with reviews, I always look at it at like, get your customers to write honest reviews, right?
Right.
Do not pay for this stuff.
No.
Make sure that you have a system and processes in place to not just go after the best clients, but all clients, and make it a fair review system, because that's what Google is ultimately after. The honesty, you know, more transparent you are with your customers and your tribe, right? They're the ones that will give you a better indication of how you're performing. And it's actually better for you to get a couple, 3 or 4 star or even 2 stars versus all 5 stars, because that's very suspicious.
Yeah.
As a business owner, it's impossible to satisfy every single customer. And if you've been in it for a while, you know there's customers that you'll never be able to satisfy. And that's okay. Right? And just be honest with that. So it allows you to actually comment on all negative and positive reviews as a business owner once you verify your listing. So my suggestion is whenever you get a review, you'll get notified via email. So once you verify, you get notified and you can actually respond for all reviews that actually submitted on Google My Business.
Right. So if somebody leaves you a bad review and said, oh, we came and had pizza and it was stone cold or something, you can actually write a reply to that.
Exactly. And then you can actually implement and let people in on what the process is moving forward, right? Thank you for addressing that concern. I took it to my team. I will address it. I apologize if you let me know individual, like personalize as much as possible and give them an offer. Like I'll give you a refund and the next meal's on me, right? Contact me directly. So it shows that you're actually caring. You're an honest business owner and you want to make it work for all staff because this is now out in the public. And people are going to read these negative reviews and the comments. So make sure that you actually have empathy and you care.
Yeah. Well, I suppose this sort of system is rife for the competition to have a moan and sort of like make up some bad reviews. If that sort of thing happens and you're suspicious over reviews, can you delete them?
So you cannot personally delete it. You can actually, if there is a commonality of, you know, people getting very negative reviews all of a sudden, like all your competitors suddenly got 5 1-star reviews, right?
Yeah.
And then there's another competitor that has 5 5-star reviews all of a sudden. So you know who the culprit is. You kind of know and kind of sniff what's going on. And plus, you probably, in a competitive landscape, you know who the major players are. You know the owners. So might as well talk to them directly and find out.
Can you flag reviews to Google if you think something's a bit suspicious, very similar to how you would do, say, on Amazon?
Yes. So you can actually trigger Google to investigate.
Right.
And there's a form that you can fill out. But you have to actually have proof of why you believe these are all, from someone that is trying to do harm to your business, right?
Yeah.
So there's ways around it. My take on that is, yes, there's going to be bad players and there's going to be good players in every single market and industry. We always focus on just doing everything right the first time, right? Yeah. Being honest, transparent, and once you start getting these negative reviews, you need to start commenting and then take actions afterwards on trying to remove it.
Gotcha. The reviews really do work, don't they? They really do encourage people to buy. I suppose they build trust and authority with a brand through a digital medium, don't they?
Exactly. Reputation management is very similar to back in the old school. These are references, right?
Yeah.
Paper references or case studies or white papers. Nowadays, people love video testimonials, right?
Sure.
And not just written testimonials, but the more authentic, personalized, real they are, that's what you're trying to get at, right? Because these are the biggest advocates of your business. So you want to get more of them out there because people trust reviews. If they don't know who you are and they don't know if a friend or family member has used your product or service, they're going to trust other people's opinion.
Yeah.
And you want to ensure that you have a really solid reputation, not just on Google, but other third-party sites as well that are very strong niche sites that allow for third-party reviews.
Yeah, I suppose it comes down to the whole fact that the people don't tend to trust a brand or trust a company because they know they're trying to just sell you something, but they will trust a person who has dealt with that company and had a good experience.
Exactly. It's just another layer, right? Because if people are new as a new customer, they want to read to see what other people have experienced coming to you before. And they feel like they are making their vetting process. And this is a part of a vetting process. From before COVID, every time I traveled from hotels to flights to restaurants, I always checked reviews.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
Right? And that's just a part of the process of looking and doing research today.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, when I've been traveling and that, if it's a hotel that isn't part of a major chain that I've heard of, I want to know what people are saying about it.
Exactly. And of course, you're going to ask friends and family because you trust their opinions, but you're also going to vet their opinion as well. You're going to Google it to see what their star ratings are and see what other people have said. So it's all about just ensuring that you have a solid reputation across the board.
So should we think of this Google My Business thing as like another social media channel that we need to update and monitor on a regular basis?
I believe it's a very strong asset piece, very similar to your website. Just right. Very similar to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, Instagram. So Google is a very strong search engine. As you know, when someone's ready to purchase, you want at least to be present there. And they'll just Google it, right?
Yeah.
So for you to now understand the power of Google and search, you need to at least be present and optimize. So when someone's searching, you're updating stuff that is relevant for the users. And if you find that people are calling you and complaining because you're not updating things or you're, you know, behind the ball on certain things, like these are dated images. These are, you know, stuff that should be updated because of the pandemic. Like, are your hours updated? What are precautions that you're implementing? They expect it. So you want to be proactive on everything you do, not just on your website and your list, but on other channels and asset pieces that you can actually edit.
So how often would you say we need to kind of update and post to Google My Business?
So the good thing about Google is they allow you to generate a post very similar to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
Right.
And it lasts for 7 days. So
right.
It gives you an opportunity to show your brand with some newsworthy information or provide, you know, some of the services that you're offering or whatever it may be. Because when people are brand searching you, it just gives you another asset piece with images and not just content. So the more frequent you do it, I would say try to do it once a week. If you can't, focus on at least once every 2 weeks to add a post. It's very similar to adding content to your website. It all depends on your time, your ability to write content. Focus on compelling pieces, well-researched information versus just anything. Something that actually moves the needle and matters for your users is what you should really focus on.
So it's not as time-consuming as, say, Facebook or Twitter. You can actually give it a little bit of time before you post again.
Exactly. Well, it all depends on how engaged and where your customers are consuming content. Yeah. So they're a big channel. If the medium is Facebook that most of your customers reside on, you need to update that regularly and consistently. But for Google's sake, you need to see how many customers are actually going to Google posts or just looking for your product and service. And as long as other things checks the box, like nice images or reviews and some of the other criterias that they're really looking for, like do you do delivery or, you know, all that other stuff, right? Yeah. Make sure that that's updated and that's more important to the customer.
Yeah. So I suppose, for example, if you were running a coffee shop or a restaurant or something, you would be deemed very local and a lot of people might find you from a Google search through their mobile phone. So you need to be updating quite often. But if you're an accountant's practice, for example, you might not want to update quite as often.
Exactly. So it all depends on users because you might have weekly specials or daily specials.
Yeah.
So you can then post it, right, as a restaurant. But as an accountant, maybe it's once a month you have something newsworthy or once every 3 months.
Yeah.
Because it's accounting season, right, tax time. It doesn't happen all the time. But when there's a new, something from an association or someone that has something newsworthy to say, that's when you put it on your website or post it. So it all depends on your customers and who you're trying to attract and what content pieces and mediums that they're looking for.
Can we add things like menus and PDFs and little downloads and things to it as well? Or is it just kind of like images and text?
Yeah, definitely. You can have menus and you can upload videos as well on
right.
Google. So the more robust you engage with your customers, like give Google like a fair shot, just like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, LinkedIn. Like you have to go in there and navigate around to see what has all the fields and make sure you input it and optimize it for your customers.
Sure.
Focus heavily on what your customers are looking for and not on what you believe Google is looking for.
John, it's been absolutely fascinating chat. I've learned a lot already, and I'm sure an awful lot of other people have as well. Where can we find you? What's your website and social? And are you on Google My Business?
Yeah, definitely. So the company I own is called Local SEO Search. We're based in Canada, but we service clients all the way in UK, Australia, and US as well. And we also have a podcast. It's called Local SEO Today. And it's very similar to what you have, sure. But it's all about educating entrepreneurs in their journey. And we've learned a lot over the last couple of years in running an agency. And we want to help you not make the same mistakes that we've had to make.
Yeah, I've watched a couple of episodes on YouTube of the podcast. It's really cool, really interesting.
And just have fun with it, right? It's like running a business. It's okay to make mistakes. It's all about like learning and adapting and figuring out if it's for you, right? Running a business is not for everyone.
Sure.
But as long as you enjoy the journey, that's the most important thing.
So where do we find you? What's your website? What's your social media?
Yeah, so the website is www.localseosearch.ca. You can actually find me on LinkedIn. That's probably the best social channel. You can find me on the team page and you'll just look for John Vong and connect with me on LinkedIn.
Fantastic. I'll leave links in the show notes to all of this as well. John, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, John. It was a great chat.
Thanks again to John for his time. Don't forget to say hello on LinkedIn. All the links are in the show notes. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then I'd love it if you could subscribe as well. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, your favorite podcast player. It's all over the place. Just search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. Thanks for listening.